Welcome, everybody, to another new episode of EdgeCast. I'm Adam Scarzafava, AVP for Edge Events and Digital Marketing here at Edge, and I'm really excited to welcome you to another new episode, this one focused on leveraging AI for universal design for learning in higher education. We're joined by some excellent guests today. You'll see some familiar faces from the Edge online and digital learning team. We're also joined by Jamie Dubute from Rider University. Jamie's a teaching and learning technologist. We're really excited for Jamie's perspective. She presented at one of Edge's recent symposiums that was focused on AI for digital teaching and learning. And we're really, really excited for her to share what she knows about UDL and AI and how those things can come together to really drive faculty and student success. So in addition to Jamie, we're joined again by Dr. Laura Romeo from the Edge Instructional Design Team and Josh Gall, the Chief Digital Learning Officer here at Edge. Josh, I'll give the floor to you and you can lead today's discussion.
Okay, thank you, Adam. So like Adam said, my name is Joshua Gall. I'm the AVP and Chief Digital Learning Officer here at Edge. And like he also mentioned, we're talking about AI and UDL in full today in our conversation. But I'm going to do as best as I can to kind of lead the conversation and leave the experts, Laura and Jamie, to this. So to start with, I kind of want to give them the chance to introduce themselves a little bit and talk about their experience and their interest in this topic through their job, through their personal lives, anything. So Jamie, you being our non-Edge person, I want to let you go first. So go ahead.
Thanks so much for having me today. So as mentioned, my name is Jamie Dubuque and I am the teaching and learning technologist at Rider University. I just joined Rider in November. I took the dive into higher education. Prior to that, I was a classroom teacher for 10 years and I was an inclusive education facilitator for Southern New Jersey. And when I was in that role, my primary responsibility was supporting school districts and including students with disabilities in the general education classroom. My master's degree is in curriculum and instruction, and I was an English teacher. And I also am a parent of a child with ADHD, and I always preface things by letting people know that because I have a selfish interest and investment in topics like universal design for learning and the potential that AI has to unlock so many barriers that exist for kids like my son.
Great. Laura.
Yes. Hi. So it's nice to be back on EdgeCast. I am Dr. Laura Romeo. My background, similar to Jamie, actually, I started out in the classroom. I was an elementary teacher for 7 years back and got my master's in instructional design and technology. With that, I was a curriculum specialist for a while and really started to see some discrepancies in the classroom with curriculum and how things are designed with the student learning needs. For that purpose, I wanted to do a lot more research and really dig into how we can overcome this structure of a one-size-fits-all learning approach and kind of use UDL and get it into the classrooms, get it into practice, and make it more mainstream. So that's why I am here. I'm an instructional designer with Edge. And like I said, it's really nice to be back and it's nice to speak on this topic.
Great. So to get us started, I just kind of want to do some table setting. Talk about universal design for learning, or UDL. Now, you could go back and listen to Laura and my conversation about it in the previous episode of EdgeCast, but to get started with, it's an educational framework that aims to create flexible learning environments and instructional methods to accommodate diverse learners. We're talking about providing multiple means of representation, providing multiple means of action and expression, and providing multiple means of engagement. So in practice, this is using a variety of media and formats like video, images, audio, a bunch of different alternatives, providing alternatives to visual information, captions, descriptive audio, incorporating tools like text-to-speech, speech-to-text, digital note-taking, designing flexible, customizable learning environments that can be adopted and adapted to individual preferences and abilities, and finally, emphasizing relevant, meaningful, and authentic learning experiences to foster engagement and motivation. So the goal of UDL is to create inclusive, equitable, and accessible learning environments that support a diverse need for students, learners, reducing barriers to learning and minimizing the potential for success. Maximizing the potential for success. So to get started with, I'm going to put Jamie on the spot to start with and talk about, because she presented, like Adam said, at our recent symposium on AI. So I want to ask her to start with, how can ChatGPT streamline the production of course content? And what steps can we take to ensure this content aligns with these UDL principles?
Great. So I think that one of the biggest things you'll ever hear, no matter what scope of education you work in, whether somebody who greets people when they walk in the front door of an elementary school, or you are at the upper echelon of administration, over and over again, you will hear teachers say, I don't have time. I don't have the time to be able to do these things. Tools like ChatGPT are going to be essential for us in terms of how are we getting the most out of our time and our resource investments inside of schools. And we're able to do it without having to spend additional money out of our own pockets, which is something that teachers tend to try to do to overcome the challenges that they feel like they're facing, especially when it comes to curriculum and that instructional content. Ways that ChatGPT can create content for us that's more efficient is by taking these ideas that we have, these strands of inspiration that we get as teachers. You know, you might be driving to work and you hear an article or you hear somebody talking on a news station and you think to yourself, man, I would love to be able to use something like that in my classroom today. You now have the ability to go into your classroom and hop on a tool like ChatGPT and ask it to generate a lesson plan focusing on something like the, you know, a bridge being stuck in suspension because of a drive belt that suddenly has broken, which just happened in Wildwood this weekend. So it's fresh on my mind, you know, and you're thinking that would be so amazing to do in my science class. But how can I make that happen when I have students coming in the door in 36 minutes? And suddenly we're able to create content like that that's customized and it's also relevant for our students. Now, to add in the UDL piece of this, rather than just spitting out a lesson plan that still has that one size fits some approach, we can now take this lesson plan that's been created and ask it to incorporate elements of universal design for learning principles. We could be as vague as that, or we could be more specific and ask it to provide something like a guided notes outline for students to be able to use during our discussion. Because I imagine that in this science class, I'm suddenly modeling and showing students what this looks like, and I want it to be interactive, and I'm putting them in groups, but I don't want to lose some of that framework and structure that students are reliant on. So from the time that I got in my car and I heard that NPR coverage on this bridge that's stuck open in Wildwood, here I am now, my student's about to walk into class, and I've created a lesson plan that incorporates universal design elements, but stays relevant for students. And I did it without having to go and spend additional money to make it all happen.
Laura, have you seen kind of similar things like that? I know we all talk about trying to keep our instruction, you know, modern and, you know, as up to date as possible, but turning something around that quickly, how do you see that as a benefit, or how do you see that as possibly a struggle when we're trying to use tools like ChatGPT or other AI to implement UDL principles in instructional design?
Yeah, so I think that ChatGPT or any other really AI platform that you can put your content into, or the idea, like Jamie was saying, it just is really going to help you speed up that content creation and then also, again, kind of refine your content and make sure that it aligns with UDL strategies, make sure it aligns with possible accommodations that you might have for specific students, and really kind of generate these multiple formats that just kind of cater to those different learning styles. You know, I think a potential challenge might be that people just don't know that it's available. You know, I think that possibly the first step to getting this efficiency and streamlining course content production with AI is just going to get out those examples, like what Jamie just said. You have a real life example, you want to work it into your lesson. How can I turn that around and do it within 10 minutes and have my lesson ready to go before my students walk in the door? I think it's just going to be a quick model demonstration and, again, kind of get that base knowledge into the educator classroom and say, you know, this is a tool that you can use and this is how you can use it. This is the practical solution for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important that I don't want to get lost in here with what Jamie and Laura both said is, you know, is our role as educators or policymakers in some cases needs to be to validate that output. You know, we turn this stuff around with AI quickly, but the key is that we are also the educators who look at it and decide, okay, this makes sense. This fits, this doesn't, you know, this meets the standards that I need to meet, whether it's instructional or technical and accessibility wise or anything like that. So I want to go back to Jamie. How can AI be used to generate a variety of different educational resources? You know, not just a quick lesson plan, but are there any other types of things that you can see a situation like what you described?
Sure. So ChatGPT also has the ability to create different kinds of models that we may want to use. It also allows you to do something like if I were to, you know, if my goal was to generate a PowerPoint presentation or slides, something simple that students can interact with and navigate on their own. Sometimes I think slides get thrown out with the bathwater of being antiquated. But when it comes to being students of all ages and ability levels, the option of being able to control your learning by dictating when a slide is moved and not moved is empowering for students in its simplest form for us as educators with sharing content and information. But I think that if I am trying to figure out ways to generate content that's specific to my instructional approach and also meeting those unique needs of my students in the classroom, like Laura said, thinking about the accommodations that exist, I can generate multiple worksheets that all hit on those same standards. And that's another piece of this interesting puzzle is we're in a time right now where there are students who are leaving schools of education who then become first-year teachers. And in some cases, it's the Wild West. They walk into a school district and they don't necessarily have a set curriculum that they're following. They just know that standards exist and that they've created a unit plan as part of their teacher preparation programs. Then we have students who are handed essentially a scripted curriculum that they're expected to follow to the T. If I walk in at 10:45 on Wednesday morning, this is where you should be in your instruction, and this is exactly what it should look like. So what we have there are the two most dangerous things that could exist for us in education, right? We've got the Wild West, and then we've got something where there's no autonomy that exists, none of that instructional pizzazz that comes from good teaching. We find the sweet spot in being able to use ChatGPT to generate content that can still align with the curriculum that we're teaching inside of a class, or if we don't have a curriculum, can align with the standards that we're trying to teach inside of our class, and then still integrating in those UDL principles. I might have it generate, you know, some response questions that I want students to answer within a group, and I decide as an English teacher that standard 0.2 for reading for literature is almost always theme-based. And as I'm thinking about how I want to generate conversation questions, I can create different levels of questions that provide more scaffolding for students to either elevate the level of the work that they're already doing or to help them reach the grade level expectations of the work that they're doing. But at the end of the day, when those students go home, and I think this is such a great test for whether or not we're creating a shared experience in our classroom communities, at the end of the day, if those students go home and sit around the dinner table and they're asked, what did you do in class today? They're talking about, oh, we were talking about the theme that happened in, you know, House on the Cerulean Sea. They're talking about that. And so are students who are operating at different levels and abilities inside of their classroom. And all of that was made possible, not by a teacher laboring extensively on a Sunday night by creating four different types of conversation prompts, but by having a driving idea in mind, whether it be part of your scripted curriculum or it be just the standards, and using that to generate multiple accessible prompts.
Yeah, so I want to kind of dive into it a little bit because we talk about, you know, how this can make the job easier or make it more rapid fire for instructors. But I think a lot of the times we forget about, you know, prompting, you know, ChatGPT or AI. So I want to ask about, you know, what are some tips about conversing more authentically with ChatGPT or other AI tools? So Laura, if you want to jump in, I want to hear from both of you, but Laura, I'll give you first crack at that one.
Sure. So I think in my experience, and I've used ChatGPT, I like to play around with it. I like to see what it can do. And I, again, like to have products made for me. It just makes my job easier. But I've found that to get the most out of ChatGPT, asking open-ended questions and then kind of going into the solutions that it provides and kind of getting more tailored with my questions as I see like this one idea that it might give me, I'll hone it in and then I'll start asking more specific questions or I'll start feeding it things that I want it to start producing for me as far as, you know, am I asking it to generate multiple choice quizzes or specific discussion prompts? Or maybe I look back at What are my learning outcomes that I'm trying to align my lesson with or align this content with? Is it matching that? And that takes, you know, that puzzle out of my job, because then I can see what it puts out and I'm like, oh yes. And of course, you know, we always, as digital consumers, need to have that critical eye, need to go back and look through, read over, think about, and, you know, kind of process what this computer is providing for us and make it our own. But it does allow for, you know, on my end, more productivity to have those authentic conversations with this AI component.
Jamie, do you have any kind of tricks that you use for putting in good prompts into ChatGPT or any other AI?
Sure. So thinking about what Laura just said, I try to teach as a writing teacher, I try to teach my students, you learn the rules to break the rules. At the end of the day, you still need to know what it is that you're trying to do, right? For instance, we're talking about UDL. I can't treat ChatGPT as a replacement for knowing the UDL framework. I mean, you could complete, you know, a PhD specifically in one side, one little piece of UDL. So it's never going to be a replacement. But what I do try to think about is I worry sometimes that if I'm too specific in my questions, depending on what my goal is, that my own bias and my own, you know, those own kind of blind spots in my instruction are still going to be pushed out in what I'm asking for, because I'm assuming, oh, UDL, I should include more media. What media examples can I include to go along with this speech I'm going to be using in my class? So right there, I'm playing into my own misunderstanding of what UDL is. So instead, what I try to think about and what I would encourage others to do is think about it more as a coach-athlete relationship, where in this case, ChatGPT is functioning as your coach. At the end of the day, you're the athlete with the ball in your hands, right? You're the one who's got to make that game time decision of what you're going to do. But you can ask ChatGPT more open-ended, like Laura said, more open-ended questions. You know, what can I do in this scenario? What are some ways that I can ensure I'm meeting the needs of students who struggle with time management in my class, right? And then giving it the parameters of your class. So times where I want to be general and be a little bit more open, those times when I want to be more specific are when I have very clear parameters that I need to stay within as a teacher. So while I might be more generic in my questions around how can I incorporate UDL elements of action and expression in this lesson plan that I have, I then need to be specific and say, do it in a 45-minute time frame, right? Knowing that I'm teaching an hour-long block, because 45 minutes does not equate to you having 45 minutes to actually teach inside of a classroom. So knowing when to be specific is when you are kind of setting parameters, because then you're creating the scene for success for what ChatGPT is providing you.
Yeah, I think real quick, just to bounce off that a tiny bit more, you know, I kind of think of it as I start out my conversation with ChatGPT as like this utopian setting. So I have everything that I could possibly have, and I want to see what it's going to give me as an output. And then I take it back, okay, my real world life, what are my resources, you know, what are my time frames and things like that, that I have to then put in place as boundaries and really narrow down the content that it then gives me. So, yeah.